saw an extraordinary film called District 9, which is a very exciting movie. It's a kind of a sci-fi thriller movie. But it's much more than that, because I think it's one of the more interesting wrestlings with the problem of the other. That's a problem you find in modern philosophers from Hegel to Levinas. How do we relate to the other? Now, District 9 tells it in the most dramatic way possible, because the plot centers around the arrival of extraterrestrials, of aliens to planet Earth. We hear that in the 1980s, an interstellar spacecraft has come to hover over Johannesburg, South Africa. And when they board the craft, they discover hundreds of thousands of these malnourished aliens. They are eventually brought down to Earth, and they're herded onto a kind of concentration camp in Johannesburg. And they're allowed to live in that squalor for about 20 years. As the film opens, we hear that the people of Johannesburg have grown very uneasy with the aliens. They find them annoying and dangerous. And they've resolved to relocate them to a camp further outside the city. And so as the plot gets underway, we hear about this figure, Vikas van der Merwe. He's a kind of a cog in the state machine. He's been sent to supervise the relocation of the aliens. While he's examining one of their hovels, he comes across this mysterious cylinder. He opens it up and he's sprayed with this black fluid. Within hours, he's desperately ill. When they bring him to the hospital, they discover, to their horror, that his forearm has been transformed into the appendage of one of the aliens. Now, as the movie unfolds, I won't give away too much more of the plot, but he becomes immediately an object of opprobrium, and he's hunted down by the state. But as he turns more and more into one of the aliens, he's metamorphosing into one of the aliens, they become much more sympathetic with him, and he becomes an ally of theirs. Okay. Going back now to Hegel and to Levinas, these two modern philosophers. Hegel said that much of human history can be read as the unfolding of the master-slave dynamic. Masters, that means those who have power, either economically, politically, culturally, linguistically, tend to find slaves. They tend to find another, someone who is weaker, more of an outsider, more of an alien, and they turn those others into slaves for their own advantage. The master is not the least bit interested in understanding the slave or the other. Think of ancient Greeks who referred to aliens, others, as simply barbarians. And the reason is they thought they just said bar, bar, bar. They didn't understand their language. That was how distant they were from these others. Almost all of history is told from the standpoint of the masters, of the powerful. And in every society, from ancient times to modern times, the goal seems to be, well, mastery. That's true in Aristotle and Plato. That's true today. Become a master, not a slave. Well, Immanuel Levinas, who was a very interesting, very powerful 20th century Jewish philosopher, whose entire family, by the way, was killed in the Holocaust. Levinas consistently in his ethics undermined the master-slave dynamic. He said this, in the Bible, in classical Jewish ethics, and Christian too, I would say, you have history told not from the standpoint of the masters, but history told from the standpoint of the slaves. Jewish ethics does not begin, as classical ethics does, with more abstract meditations on the nature of the good. Rather, Jewish ethics begins with the challenging face of the other. Levinas says the Israelite prophets, think of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and so on, will always call attention to the widow, the orphan, the alien. And they'll say things like this, you were once slaves in Egypt, therefore, you must be attentive to the suffering of the slaves and aliens in your midst. They begin to tell the story from the standpoint of the other, the standpoint of the forgotten, and they allow identification with the other to be the starting point of proper ethics. Now, let me speak as a Christian, following up on Levinas' idea. St. Paul says this about Jesus. Though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God a thing to be grasped at, mastery. Rather, he emptied himself and became a slave, Paul says. It's very interesting, isn't it? Becomes a slave. Accepting, finally, even death, the terrible death of the cross. In Jesus, God identifies as dramatically as possible with the underside of history. not with the masters, but with the slaves, not with the insiders, but with the outsiders. God now looks out, as it were, from the suffering face of Christ and compels us to the right ethical stance. That is a revolution. What I find fascinating now in District 9 is you see all the Hegelian dynamics of master-slave on clear display. These aliens are given a derogatory nickname. They look like crustaceans. They're called prawns. So they're dehumanized. Linguistically oppressed. They're herded into these concentration camps. They're allowed to live in squalor. Violence, both direct and indirect, is visited upon them constantly. There you see it. There you see the masters vis-a-vis the slaves. But what you begin to see now in this movie is, I would say, that biblical and Christian difference. As this bureaucrat, this cog in the machine, by this accident, becomes an alien. He starts taking on the quality of them. Then he identifies with them and they with him. I think we can see in this film what I would call the biblical difference. The view that comes from this strange spiritual tradition that culminates in a God who doesn't make slaves, but who becomes one.